Welcome to the NCO Journal Podcast. This is a podcast series where we discuss published articles with authors and provide a forum for the open exchange of ideas, information, and solutions. I'm your host, Staff Sergeant Brandon Cox, NCOIC of the NCO Journal, and Chaga Zapata, Managing Editor. Today we discuss the article, Adapting Telework Strategies for the United States Army, by Sergeant First Class Jeremy Wally, former Staff Sergeant Kyle T. Allen, and former Sergeant Joseph S. Salerno III. Today, we are accompanied by author Sergeant First Class Jeremy Wally. Could you please tell us a bit about yourself?
First and foremost, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to be part of your show today and talk about my article, which I'm very excited about. I'm Sergeant First Class Wally. I've been in the Army for 19 years now. I'm a careerist, almost that 20 finish line. But I'm currently stationed out of Fort Dix, New Jersey, on with 174th Infantry Brigade. And our job is to partner with National Guards and reservists units during their pre-mobilization phase before they go on either to deploy or before they step out the door for any mobilization training purposes.
Excellent. Well, 19 years, that's a long time, Sergeant Wally. Did you spend the whole time infantry?
No. Actually, I forgot to mention that earlier, but my MOS, I'm a 35 Fox. I'm an all-source intel analyst. But during my almost my entire career, I've been assigned to either CAS squadrons or infantry mobility warfighting functions units.
Do you have any big plans after retirement? Do you have a goal you got in mind, a plan for after?
I've been thinking about maybe going back to school, completing my MBA. That's something that's in the works. And we'll see what happens from there. You know, I can only count on today and what I'm doing today to accomplish those big goals. But that's definitely in the trajectory looking forward, continuing my civilian career. I already have a bachelor's degree from the University of Penn State. And I'm hoping to enroll in NYU for the MBA program.
That's great, Sergeant. So when we're talking about your article, Adapting Telework Strategies, what kind of gave you the inspiration to write it?
So as, you know, many of us who went through the pandemic, you know, we all share a unique experience. But at the same time, I think there is a overarching theme for units across the Army, you know, from the staff level all the way down to the team level, which was the sudden change that the pandemic brought into the workforce. We first had to identify, okay, what are our priorities of work and how are we going to be able to accomplish that. But at the same time, it also posed a leadership challenge for NCOs as well, because, you know, before the pandemic, face-to-face was our normal daily interaction. And the pandemic brought that unknown landscape that I would say most, if not all of us, were not used to or were completely unaware of. So when I wrote the article, I wanted to create some sort of these discussions to put these challenges on the forefront when it comes to telework SOPs, when it comes to leadership addressing unique challenges that might arise from telework, such as do leadership still maintain performance of excellence during telework settings? And another key point, going around or being able to navigate through the inherent challenges that telework might produce, such as, you know, cyber threats, which is a constant factor that we also have to think about when it comes to the security aspect of it.
Yeah. And, you know, in your introduction, you talk, you know, about COVID, the impact that it made not only to the Army, but the entire world, normal everyday people. It affected everything. Can you talk your experience a little bit about at the beginning of COVID? Like, what did that look like? How did that affect your unit?
Well, I would say it looked like control chaos, if you get what I'm saying. So when it happened, I remember I was the Brigade S2 NCYC for 174 MI Brigade, which is the largest MI Brigade in the Army. So when it hit, it took us of you know, by surprise, because some of our hearing functions are done on the classified side. So I guess developing, you know, the priorities of work on the classified side, but at the same time, developing the priorities of work on the NIPR side. And being able to merge those two levels of classification from the NIPR side onto the classified side. Okay, so how was that going to look like? When it came down to soldiers, leading soldiers, and making sure that the tasks were being done, the mission was being accomplished, and the flow of communication wasn't going to be a problem. From the first go, we encountered a myriad of issues when it came down to communication, because back in those days, we didn't have the robust, you know, infrastructure that we have now. Teams, I believe was a direct product of the COVID-19. So most of our, if not all of our work was pushed through emails. There was connectivity issues with people trying to work from home. By the end of the day, you know, like I said, it was control chaos. But as the NCO in charge, one of my main concerns was to ensure that the mental health of every single soldier in my formation was intact, that the pandemic was not going to pose health issues in my formation.
You mind if I jump in real quick? I think, okay, I mean, we could sit here and talk about the pandemic, but I think that thing, it happened. I mean, all of us have stories. All of us have, you know, there's a lot of things that happened at that time. And it's it was a very trying time for everyone. You know, we all had to find workarounds. We had to figure out, you know, we figured it out, you know, without any sort of preparation. Like you said, it was a tough time. So let's talk about some of the challenges, you know, that face us today. And I think ultimately what it comes down to, when I read your article, what I think what it comes down to is trust. You know, you have to have your subordinates trust, and they have to trust you. That has to be mutual trust. That comes with, you know, being a leader, being a good leader, somebody who listens, somebody who knows their soldiers, who takes the time to know their soldiers. Could you talk about that, maybe about the kind of challenges that we face today when it comes to leadership and dealing with working remotely?
In my opinion, some of the tougher challenges that they face is the telework procedures into standards that could be translated into everyday practice. And what I mean by that is, you know, SOPs. NCOs our enforcers are standard bearers. And there's no better tool for NCOs than SOPs. And having these procedures being codified will allow NCOs to be able to hold soldiers to a set of expectations that they must accomplish on any given basis. So the challenge that they face right now is that, and I think in my personal experience, but through many conversations that I've had with other NCOs, is first understanding, okay, what specific objectives can we transfer are transferable into the telework setting? Because once we identify those specific tasks, then we can start delving into a little bit deeper. Because in the telework settings, we have a virtual dimension. So NCOs have to codify then what specific standards can we associate to the tasks that the soldiers are expected to complete on a day-to-day basis. So communication is gonna play a key role. And NCOs have to make sure that the soldiers are following up and following through when they are in the telework setting. Because I have a sense that, you know, a lot of soldiers in the media of organizations may have the impressions that a telework is basically you go off on a lone island and everybody's going to forget about you. Well, in the Army, NCOs, they need to maintain consistent, continuous contact with their subordinates, whether that may be face-to-face or in their telework setting. And I would say that communication is critical in the telework setting, as the face-to-face interaction is not present. NCOs, they need to make sure that, you know, soldiers are getting the task complete, but also making sure that soldiers are maintaining discipline across the board.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. You know, consistent communication with your soldiers, getting to know them, making sure that they're good. I think you said something interesting there where, you know, some soldiers may feel like they're out there alone on an island, you know, when they're teleworking. And you said it earlier too, one of the things you mentioned was mental health. And I think that I found it interesting that you labeled mental health in the article as a potential issue that you did have solutions to. What are some of the reasons that we should really focus on mental health when we're in that telework setting, or even when we're not?
It's an important thing that NCOs they have to capture, especially, you know, for individuals that they need that social interaction. Like I myself, you know, I'm an introvert, and I could live on a mountain by myself and wouldn't be an issue. But I cannot say the same for people in general. So NCOs, they need to be sensitized to, you know, soldiers' background. They need to understand, have that intimate knowledge on, you know, about their soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have any soldiers, Sergeant Wally, that you felt were in that category that had some issues during telework?
No. Fortunately, I didn't. Plus, during the COVID, I made sure that we all stay connected. So what I implemented was at the end of each duty day, we would have a one-on-one. I will have a one-on-one with every one of my soldiers. I would personally call them just to check up on them. It wasn't necessarily, you know, trying to be in their faces and asking them, you know, these direct questions, even though sometimes you need to be that direct, especially when it comes to mental health. My approach was, you know, was very casual in ways to make them feel comfortable, in ways to maintain that connection between us, and making sure that, you know, above everything else, that they were doing okay, that their families back home were doing okay as well.
Sergeant Wally, I wanted to kind of go back to something that you that we talked about earlier, and that was the dealing with trust. You know, the leadership. You know, there's a lot of things that you have to deal with when it comes to letting people work remotely. And I think trust is a big thing, and it's not a cut and dry thing for everybody. I mean, you could have a young PFC who's mature, who you can trust and who does the job, and you don't have to do that much supervising. You know that they're good to go. And on the other hand, you might have an older sergeant, maybe who doesn't have that maturity level, you think might just be home goofing off rather than doing the job that he needs to do. So I want to talk a little bit about that, about trust, and I know that's part of the thing that you talk about when it comes to leadership in your article, but maybe you can kind of delve a little deeper into that.
When it comes to trust, NCOs, again, you know, they have to be sensitized to, you know, their soldiers' needs and the soldiers' abilities and the soldiers' weaknesses as well. So they have to understand the overall person concept for each individual soldier. In my career, I've had, you know, PFCs that were, you know, self-starters, where on the other extreme, I had, you know, E5s under my leadership that I had to be on top of them, you know, even to the point of micromanaging them to make sure that they got the task done. So it's not going to be a clear-cut, you know, approach, because NCOs, they have to be able to adjust their leadership, the leadership approach based on that, you know, whole person concept. So it's going to vary between, you know, from person to person. But overall, what, you know, from the very start, NCOs, they have to, you know, be able to codify, you know, the expectations or the standards that they're going to uphold in the telework setting. And that can, you know, begin with, you know, a face-to-face counseling on a 4856, you know, in plain language. Okay, these are the you know, these are your roles and responsibilities, and these are the tasks that have to get done, you know, on any given basis.
Yeah, I think it all leads to communication, right? All of it ties together with communication. And let me kind of switch that around a little bit, because I think it's important for soldiers to communicate with their families as well when they're at home. I don't know if you remember the picture that we used when we published the article, the picture of I think it was a first sergeant. He was working on his computer, riding on his little boy's tricycle with the little kids behind him. And we use that photo. Just, I think it's important to communicate with your family as well and let them know that you're not just home chilling. You know, you're not on your Xbox playing video games. You're working. During the pandemic, my wife would call me and give me these little honeydews, and I told her, "Hey, I'm not here goofing off. I'm my working hours are similar to yours. I need to work." So I think it's important that whoever, you know, whenever you telework, whoever it might be, whether it's a civilian army professional like myself or you soldiers, it's important to communicate with your family, not just your soldiers and you know, provide them their expectations, but provide your family with expectations as well, because they're your support. And if they're not supporting you while you're working from home, then you're going to have problems. And I think it might lead to some of these behavioral health issues that might pop up.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, you know, soldiers don't communicate well with their family members, and thus the lines between work life balance become very, very blurred. Let me give you an example. Per se, if I'm supposed to be teleworking, but I'm not being very clear about what I have to accomplish throughout the day, and my significant other maybe sees it as, you know, a way for me to get away from work and stay home, and she asking me to, you know, go run some errands throughout the day, and because we're not having that, you know, having those discussions and setting those clear expectations on the front end, then, you know, it spills into a whole different, you know, unnecessary scenario.
Yeah, that's one that I remember having to deal with, and I don't think you explored that in your article. I thought it was important to bring up here, just to, because again, you know, you have to have a support system at home, and if your support system is kind of doesn't take what you're doing kind of seriously, as in that you're working from home, then it might affect your performance. What is the main takeaway you have about your article that you would like NCOs to take from this?
Yeah, sure. And I'm glad you asked that. So number one thing, right? You know, the pandemic has taught us several important lessons. The first thing was that it gave us, you know, the opportunity to look within our foxholes and also allow us to identify our shortcomings. One thing that I have to point out that we have to codify telework procedures into our SOPs. As SEOs and standard bearers, we're unable to uphold such a host of standards if we're not utilizing the tools at our disposal to make sure that soldiers are achieving the mission. The other second big thing that I think NCOs should take away from this, leadership. You know, soldiers and NCOs, they have to maintain continuous communication. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, work related, but NCOs, they have to be able to reach out on a consistent basis to check up on how their soldiers are doing, to demonstrate to soldiers that they genuinely care, not just about, you know, completing the mission, while that is, you know, critical, but also because they genuinely care about their well-being. NCOs, they have to be adaptive leaders. They have to be flexible. And I know that not everything, every single possible scenario that can happen can be codified into an SOP, but at least a telework SOP can build a baseline as opposed to, you know, starting from scratch or making solutions on the go.
Thank you, Sarn, for joining us, and thank you to our audience. Remember to put your knowledge to the page, submit articles, and get published with the NCO Journal. Don't forget to check out our webpage and follow us on social media. We'll catch you next time on the NCO Journal podcast.